The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist prepares the way. It's on page 674. Okay, chapter 3, page 674. Okay, John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and from all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees come into where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of Christ. At this time in Jewish history, the nation was in a spiritual desert. It was in a wilderness of unbelief. The priesthood was in a mess. There were two high priests. The scribes and the Pharisees had weakened the nation with all their man-made rules and regulations, 603 in all. The nation desperately needed to hear from God, and John the Baptist was the faithful voice, a voice crying in the wilderness, a lighthouse, if you like, in a dark night. When you look at Luke's version, Luke sets the scene. He tells us exactly when John came. For 400 years, there had been no prophetic voice in Israel. 400 years of silence. But John's coming was part of God's perfect timing, for everything that relates to God's Son is always on time and always on schedule. In Malachi 3, chapter 3, verse 1, the messenger was predicted. So John's coming was not an accident. It was planned by God, his master plan for saving the world. So why did God choose John? In Luke's gospel, it says this: "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Eretir and Trachonis, and Lysanias Tetrarch of Abilene joined the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John." He mentions seven people there: a Roman governor, Tiberius Caesar, a governor, Pontius Pilate, three tetrarchs who ruled over areas of land, and two high priests. And yet, God's word wasn't sent to any of the important people. Instead, the message came to a humble Jewish prophet. The point is that a person's position in society, their wealth, their good looks do not impress God as much as a person's heart. The seven men mentioned were like Jaguar cars with Honda 50 motors. John may have looked like a Model T, but he had a Rolls-Royce engine. You can laugh now. That was a joke. (Clears throat) Okay, verse 3. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John appeared on the scene, and people came across him, and he stood firm. He stood out from everyone else. He resembled Elijah in manner and dress. He wore a camel hair coat with a leather belt. He had long hair and a beard. He'd been hardened physically in the wilderness or in the desert, so he might have looked pretty rough. But he was unique. People had not seen anyone like John before. His preaching style was unique. We'd have called him a fire and brimstone preacher. When John preached, things happened. His words impacted lives. They made a difference to the way people lived and believed. An actor's words can move you to tears. A comedian's words can bring you to laughter. John's words move people to repentance. John's message called for people to be baptized in the Jordan. If you were Jewish, that was an explosive, radical statement. The Jews believed they didn't need to be baptized. Baptism was for proselytes, non-Jews, Gentiles, you and me, who wanted to become Jewish, take on the Jewish faith and lifestyle. So John shocked and rocked the community by insisting that the Jews had to participate in this baptism also, implying that the Jews needed repentance, just like everybody else. It's like telling an Olympic gold medalist to get in shape, or a group of professors, you need an education, or telling a crowd an all-black match to cheer. So the Jews came out to this weird-looking man who was telling them to get what they thought they already had. Not just to get wet, but to show that they had changed. What's that noise? So the Jews came out looking at this weird man who telling them what they thought they already had, not just to get wet, but to change. They needed repentance. The people claimed to believe in the right things in their heads. They were Jews, but they needed to examine their hearts, their daily lives, and their attitudes, and admit that they had a need. You and I need to do the same today. In Luke's Gospel, verses 4 to 20, we find the reasons why John the Baptist came to the nation of Israel. He was an illustration. He was a walking, talking picture who would help people like you and I understand spiritual truths. He was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John was the voice. Jesus, the Messiah, was the word. John was the messenger, and Jesus was the message. John was like a town crier who went ahead. His job was to make sure the road was ready for the king to travel on, to prepare the nation for the arrival of the king. And those words, "Prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight, every mountain shall be filled," that's what they did for Roman emperors. If a Roman emperor was going to visit a particular area, they just leveled all the roads, they removed all the rubbish, they made it look really smart. Just like when the Queen goes visiting England, they paint the toilets on the station she's going to go through, even though she's never going to use them. That's what the Romans did. They made the path straight. They filled in the valleys so the emperor could go straight to where he wanted to go. And that's what John was saying. Make the path straight for Jesus to come. Now imagine you're in church one Sunday And the visiting preacher stands up and says, "Everyone, look at your minister in the committee. They're all a pack of frauds, cheating, selfish." What would you think? Hopefully that will never happen, and it's not true anyway. But John made the equivalent statement, and it was 100% true. In Matthew 3, when John saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of the leaders coming to see him, you can just imagine him walking up and down, looking at the crowd and preaching away and saying, "You brood of vipers!" He wouldn't have said, "You're not doing very well, folks. You brood of vipers." That's getting your attention, isn't it? That would really pull you up short. And I think, you know, if we're honest, when we hear leaders being challenged like that, we get a little bit smug. And we sort of put a smile on our face and we think, well, we're not as bad as that. But hang on. What does Timothy say in chapter 3, verse 16? All scripture is inspired by God. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correction of error. Okay, let's go back to Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Notice they're commandments, not suggestions. They are not optional for living. Do you have any other gods in your life? Family, position, possessions? Ever misused the Lord's name? Not honored your parents? Slag them off behind their back? Well, I've never murdered anybody. Really? Didn't Jesus say that if you call your brother a worthless fool, you've murdered him? Well, I've never committed adultery. Really? Never looked at the opposite sex and thought? Never stolen anything? What about that placemaker's pen in your bag? Where did that come from? Never given false testimony? But you just embellished the story a bit, or you passed on a tasty bit of gossip. Never coveted anything? God, I wish I had a car like that. How are you doing? Not good. Let's be honest, you and I are no better than the people John is addressing. God expects to see spiritual fruit in our lives, and we should not be the same this year that we were last year. If we are, there's something wrong. We are spiritually sick, and we need to act. The crowds asked John what they should do. And John told the crowds, "Share, prove your repentance, not by words, by what you do." To the tax collectors, whose corruption was legendary, he said, "Prove your repentance by your honesty." And to the soldiers, who were known to take anything they wanted, he said, "Prove your repentance by respecting people's property." For you and I, what we believe needs to be worked out in our lives. It needs to be applied. John's message of repentance involves much more than a dip in the river and a religious experience. Just as when we became Christians, there needs to be a change of attitude and lifestyle. Being a Christian, following Jesus, is a walk, a journey, an adventure, not an exam, not just a new set of beliefs, but a change of heart and mind. John predicted three things. Someone more powerful was coming, someone more worthy, and someone more holy. John was powerful physically, but Jesus had supernatural inner strength. John said, "You think I'm a big shot? I'm nothing compared to who's coming. I'm not worthy even to undo his sandals." And that was a slave's job. That was the lowest of the low. And he said he wasn't even capable or worthy of doing that job. John realized he'd be in the presence of greatness. Are we? John said, "The one coming is much holier than I." Jesus was sinless his whole life. If he'd not been, then his death wouldn't have paid the price for our sins. His sacrifice would have been worthless. John baptized with water. Jesus baptized was with the Holy Spirit. "All I did," said John, "was wash you with water. And if my human words and actions have made a difference, impacted your life, helped you go in a different direction, then you wait till the Messiah comes." John touched the body. Jesus transforms the heart. And God is still in the business of touching lives. If he's spoken to you today through my words, then you need to do something about it. You need to get right with God. You can do that quietly where you are. You can talk to somebody, or you can come up the front and we'll pray for you. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain shall be brought low, because the King is coming. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, many of us have been believers for a long time. And to be honest, Lord, sometimes we get stale. We forget just exactly what you've done for us. And as we lead up to Christmas, Lord, and we look at the forerunner and we think about when the Messiah came, that it wasn't just a little baby. Babies grow up. And this baby grew up to be Jesus, the Savior. We've recognized, Lord, him as believers. We've recognized that he is the Savior. So, Lord, from today, just challenge us, Lord, to prepare the way. To perhaps all of us need to make a change in direction, Lord, to be more fully aware of what you're saying to us, Lord, to be more diligent in our reading or in our prayer. Because that's how we grow in our relationship with you. And you want a relationship with everyone. That's your deepest desire. That's how you planted in the Garden of Eden, a relationship with us humans. But we decided we'd go our own way. So, Lord, just help each one of us, Lord, to take on board the words that John the Baptist said, Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make his path straight. Which might mean we need to get rid of some things in our lives. Change direction. Lord, bless you and thank you, Lord, for the forerunner announcing that the King was coming. We bless you and thank you, Lord, that you're still in the business of wanting to change lives today. And we bless you and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.